Hola, this is Coyote, and I'm joined by a very special guest today, Mr. Al Atkins, founding member and vocalist of Judas Priest and current member of the Atkins May Project, or AMP as you might know it. Thank you for taking the time to join me and welcome to the show, Al.
Hi, Dave.
Well, again, Al, I'd really appreciate you taking the time to answer some questions. I'm sure your time is limited, so let's get to the questions I think my listeners would like me to ask you. So first question I have is, I understand that you have some new projects that you've been involved in and working on as of late, but I think we should start at the beginning. Why don't you tell us what it was like to be a founding member of Judas Priest?
Yeah, great being a founding member of Judas Priest. It was a very exciting time. And it would have been a good learning curve for what they're about to come later on in life. We played anytime, any place, anywhere. Got through four drummers in 4 years. Played alongside top bands, opening up for Status Quo, Supertramp, Spirit, Gary Moore, Slade, Thin Lizzy, that's just to name a few. And we played over 150 gigs in 1972 alone. Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath took it under his wing in an agency he ran with Norman Hurt called IMA, International Management Agency. They had loads of bands on the books, including Hiroshima, which featured Rob Alford, and the Flying Out Band, which featured Glenn Tipton. And both these players joined Judas Priest after I left in May 1973.
Why don't you tell us what it was like, that whole rock scene during that time in Britain?
It was a great rock scene, absolutely brilliant, with many bands emerging from the late 60s and early 70s, like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, UFO, Deep Purple, all with their own unique style, too.
I'm sure this is the question that everybody has on their mind right now, is what caused you to leave Judas Priest?
I left JP mainly because I was young and unmarried with a child to feed. Without that record deal, which we so wanted, or any financial help, because although we were getting bigger, so were our overage. And in the end, I decided to get a normal 9-to-5 job.
So what did you accomplish, and or what projects did you work on between Judas Priest and your current endeavors?
A few months after leaving JP, I decided to get another band together. I missed playing so much. I decided just to get a weekend band together, playing gigs and hold on to my job. This band was called Lion, absolutely amazing band. And we're all established players too, like Bruno Stapenhill Bass, who was the first bassist in the 1969 lineup of Judas Priest, guitarist Harry H. Tonks, and drummer Pete Booth from Budgie and myself. We had a great road crew too, one being Mick Zoom Hughes, who is now a Metallica sound engineer, has been for a long, long, long time. We were together for about 5 years. It was just as hard again to get a record deal at this time because of the punk explosion. Amongst record companies wanted to sign these type of acts. In 1978, after endless touring and just recording the one single, we decided to split up. If we'd have carried on a little longer, we would have been fine. Only around the corner was the new wave of British heavy metal movement, and we'd have fitted in absolutely really well with this. Such is life. Through the 80s, I stayed in music, but took a step back. I tried helping at recording and producing young and up-and-coming Birmingham bands, and even tried my hand in management. I had my own recording studios now and continue writing and recording my songs. It'd be the late 80s now when I met up with a young guitarist called Paul May. And we decided to put, record my first solo album with him helping me, which was called Judgment Day. We did it for a German record label, SPM. Soon after that, another German company came calling, and I recorded Dreams of Avalon, and here I was again, ready to hit the road. Next came Heavy Thought, a pre-sold label Gull Records. And then Victim of Change is featuring Paul on guitar and Dave Holland on drums from Judas Priest. After that came Dear Me Deceiver, and Paul and myself started to go our different ways. And Dear Me Deceiver album featured mainly Simon Lees from Budgie on guitar, and Also, Paul played one track, and also Blind Tatler from Dom and Dead, he played on one of the songs too. Next, I decided to move away from the Al Atkins band product and formed a heavy metal band, The Holy Rage, and we recorded a self-titled album and played all over from here to America alongside bands like Skid Row, Saxon. We had a great time, but I was now in my 60s, I decided to call it a day.
After devoting your life to music and your craft, do you have any really big regrets or something that you wanted to achieve that you haven't yet achieved?
Regrets? Not really. I once regretted leaving Priest when I saw how much money they were making. But I made a few quid out of them from the songs I wrote, so money isn't everything too. So when I started out in the early 60s, I did it because I loved what I was doing. And that's what really matters. Most musicians are happy if they're just making a crust and just playing. The only other thing I didn't achieve, I think, is playing in Japan, which has always been on my bucket list, but I never made it.
Can you tell us what are the latest projects you have going on?
After I left Holy Rage, Paul May gave me a call, asked if I would guest on a song for his new album. Of course, I said, yeah. I ended up singing the whole album called Serpent's Kiss. We signed up on a one-off contract with Gonzo Multimedia. The album took off, and the record company asked us to record another one, so we did. That was Valley of Shadows, an amazing album. We soon sold out of copies. Next, we did Empire of Destruction, and now we have our new offering, The Final Cut.
In doing my research for our interview, I noticed that there were some people that had mentioned that the Final Cut album took a really long time to lay down and release. So can you tell us what took so long to get the Final Cut laid down and released?
We both thought Empire could be our last one. And our record company also jumped the gun and bought out the anthology album. Paul has been busy recording and producing at his own studios now, Rock Solid Studios. And I recorded my last solo album, Reloaded, which features a whole lot of musos on there like Judas Priest, Ian Hill on bass. It took a while to record. But last year, Paul said he had written a whole new album and asked if I was interested. I said, yeah. My hearing has took a lot of bashing over the years, as you could imagine. And it took a lot longer than usual. I have to sometimes record a day and rest a day. Rest my ears up. We also decided to leave our record company, put it out ourselves, which is our best move yet, on Dog Rough Records. If that sums us up, that.
Yes. So what lies ahead for Al Atkins?
What lies ahead, I don't know. I've been asked to guest on a lot of recordings now, and I like doing that. So maybe all in my career like this. Or even, we may even record another A&P album, who knows? No one knows what's around the corner.
Al, how can the listeners follow you? Social media, YouTube, that sort of thing.
You can find a shitload of stuff on YouTube from Holy Rage, Al Atkins solo stuff, A&P. You can also find me on Facebook, but I'm on my 5,000 limit now, so maybe I won't be able to add anyone.
So, Al, do you have a fan club?
I don't have a fan club, but maybe I should start one, I think.
I want to thank you again, Al, for taking the time to answer these questions. I know your time is valuable, and I wanted to keep the interview as short as possible. And again, I thank you for the generosity of your time, man. You've been a great guest. I thank you for all your patience and everything you've done to put this together. Thanks again, Al.
Thanks for the interview, Dave, and keep it metal.